This is Common Sense Radio on the Michigan Talk Network.
All right, big day here for us, broadcasting live from Grand Rapids at the Amway Grand Hotel, the Governor's Conference on Tourism, promoting it heavily today. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. My next guest has been here before, Congressman Thomas Massie of Kentucky, joining me on the program. Congressman, welcome back.
Hey, great to be on, Steve. Glad to hear you in Grand Rapids there. My favorite congressman from Michigan represents that area. His name's Justin Amash.
Yeah. Is he really your favorite?
He's absolutely my favorite in Michigan. He may be my favorite in the whole of Congress.
Well, that's interesting, because I see him do a lot of things that I don't think are particularly helpful on things that he votes no on and things that he votes yes on. I get confused, but that's for a different conversation. So Let me ask you this, because this is for today. I think the liberals, the conversation over gun control was changed permanently yesterday. This is not why I originally was going to have you here, but let's talk about this, because John Paul Stevens in the New York Times yesterday, former justice of the United States Supreme Court, says it is time that the children demand a repeal of the Second Amendment, in effect. And I think it's changed the conversation, because simply put, going forward, I'm going to ask everybody on this program, do you agree with John Paul Stevens? Is that your position? I know it's been the Democrat and liberal position for a long time, but he admitted the truth, didn't he?
He absolutely did. That's exactly where they want to go, and every incremental step they can get, they will take. And you know what frustrates me, Steve, is every time I stand up for the Second Amendment, the left says that I'm in the pocket of the gun lobby. Look, I spend more on ammunition in a year than the gun lobby gives to my campaign, okay? And I do this sincerely. Now, I never once questioned the sincerity of the liberals, when, even though they take money from the anti-gun lobby. I never once questioned their sincerity when they want to repeal the Second Amendment or when they want to pass gun control. By golly, they're as sincere as I am.
Yeah. I think it's important for us to know that the Democrats, the liberals, have admitted out in the public now, because I think if I'm you and I'm running for office, right, and you see the Democrats have admitted they want the Second Amendment destroyed, they can't hide anymore, because here it is in black and white. How important is picking Neil Gorsuch for the Supreme Court? How important is it now when you read this?
Well, it's huge. Look, a lot of people were excited when the Heller decision came out. Remember the Supreme Court decision? I believe it was 2008, roughly, that said that the Second Amendment does actually apply to the people. It's not a militia thing. That everybody celebrated, but I was actually pretty darn worried, because the decision was 5-4. And the liberals, you know, if they can't repeal the Second Amendment, they want to overturn the Heller decision. And so if we didn't have Gorsuch in there, the court would be the other way, and that would be one of the first of their items to tick off. And hopefully we'll get another Supreme Court nominee. By the way, after the Heller decision was the McDonald decision, Chicago versus McDonald, which
right.
was just as important. It said it applies, that the Second Amendment is a constraint on the states, not just the federal government.
Right, here you go. All right, so we'll keep an eye on that. I think it's changed the narrative forever, because from now on you can say, do you agree with John Paul Stevens? Do you agree with repealing the Second Amendment? Every Democratic candidate that's on this program will be asked that, and so will Republicans. I mean, I know where you stand. It's pretty obvious. So let's move back to the $1.3 trillion omnibus spending bill. Here is a tweet from Justin Amash. I keep seeing the same absurd claim going around on social media that the omnibus is not so bad because it's not a budget. This is totally backward. The omnibus is a law. The budget is not. A bad budget is irresponsible but toothless. The omnibus spending bill does real damage. Do you agree with that, or you don't agree with that?
Well, I absolutely agree with it. It's a fact. Look, the budget that Congress passes isn't even signed by the president. We are told there every time we bring up the budget, that's an aspirational budget, aspirational document. It's not a law. I say, well, if it's aspirational, why don't we aspire to balance it? Because, you know, they say, oh, just vote for the budget. It's pretend. But the omnibus, it goes in line by line. It tells you which military equipment is going to get funded, which military equipment is not going to get funded. And by the way, it shouldn't be an omnibus. It should be 12 separate appropriations bills. But Justin Amash is 100% correct on that. There's a lot of false, I would call them facts, but they're not, misinformation coming out now about people who hope, they're wishing, they're trying to grab at anything to say that when the president signed that, he didn't sign a document that would keep him from implementing what he campaigned on. But in fact, that's what he did. That omnibus seals it. He can't do what he wanted to do.
Okay, so this bill, this law now, if you will, this spending plan, $1.3 trillion, runs only through September. And the president said this, I will never sign one of these again, which puts you in a situation, Congressman, where come September, if he doesn't sign one, potentially, it could lead to a government shutdown. And that doesn't probably play very well for anybody a few weeks out from the midterm elections. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, that's why they like to put all the bills together instead of passing 12 separate bills, so they can come and blame congressmen for a shutdown if they don't vote for one of these giant, you know, abominations. The you're right. The omnibus expires on September 30th of this year. The new one has to be done. The new funding bill has to be done by October 1st, and there's a November election. I will say with 100% certainty on your show that they will do a continuing resolution and punt the ball past the next election.
So where do we go from here then? I mean, you think it's going to get signed? Because Donald Trump, I mean, he was elected in large part, as were you, as were all Republicans, to get spending under control, to cut back on what we're doing, to stop adding to the, well, now $21 trillion debt. Why would somebody vote for Republicans now if they believe they've been betrayed?
You know, some people ask me, has this diminished the enthusiasm of the base for supporting Republicans? It's diminished my enthusiasm for supporting my colleagues who are Republicans who voted for this bill. I'm not going to endorse anybody that's running for re-election that voted for this abomination. And just one other thing, the thing that needs to change is the process needs to change. Look, I don't like the outcome. I don't like that we increased spending by 20% and we've got control of all three branches of government. But if we had followed a process instead of having four people in a smoke-filled room writing this bill and then dropping it on us 12 hours before we had to vote for it, if we had a process where everybody was involved, where we got to offer amendments and then had votes on those amendments, then I would feel better about the outcome. But I can't feel good about any outcome that followed this process. So, you know, there's a vote that happened about 2 hours before the omnibus bill was passed. It's called the rule vote.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Where people voted to endorse the process. And there were 25 Republicans who stood up against that. We almost stopped them from a procedural vote. That's the
Well, we can only hope,
vote.
Congressman. We can only hope, Congressman, that common sense and common decency prevail come September. We'll see what happens, but we'll leave it there for today. Greatly appreciate your input, as always. Congressman Thomas Massie from Kentucky, great voice, and always love you on the program, sir.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Always a pleasure. There you have it. Quick break and some open mic time for you right after this on the Steve Gruber Show.